Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was delightful, but very stressful. I hosted at my house.
Oof.
There were only five of us, but I didn't realize exactly how much work goes into this and then how much cleanup
comes
after.
The worst. But like, if you have good guests, I think they're supposed to offer. I'm saying this, but I was a guest at someone's Thanksgiving and I did not offer to help.
Well, luckily my mom was here. So she was always like, let me help. What can I do? Like, let me clean that. And we do have a dishwasher. We're one of those very lucky New York City people. I mean, I live in Queens. So, but we have a dishwasher, but it was just like one after the other, after the other, like go, go, go. But the food came out great. I may have overdone the like goat cheese sour cream on my mashed potatoes.
Oh,
a little too much dairy,
fancy.
Maybe. But I think overall, it was a very big success.
At any point, were you elbow deep in a turkey?
No, I was too. I didn't do meat. You know, I go back and forth on the whole vegetarian
thing.
And I chose to not. There's something about turkey in particular. Okay, actually, I lied because we did have brisket and I did have a little bit of brisket.
Okay.
But I didn't do turkey. There's something about turkey.
It just looks like a naked something.
And I watched my mom like rip the leg off at one point to put on a plate. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. My roommate, one roommate did make a tofurkey.
Oh.
Which I thought looked pretty good. And she, you know, I wanted to try it, but I didn't get a chance because she had to bring it to another like Friendsgiving. But I mean, that looked much more appealing to me than the actual turkey.
So, you know, I don't eat meat, but I feel weird reminding people when I go to their house because I don't want it to seem like I'm asking for anything special. But that being said, I had a lot of vegetables.
Like too many, because you can only have vegetables.
Right. Well, like they had mac and cheese, but there was bacon sprinkled on top and stuff like that. Which it's totally fine. I just think I got a little drunker than I intended because I was only
no protein.
Nourished
like where were you? You need
Brussels
some almonds.
Sprouts in.
Right. Even the Brussels sprouts.
But they were delicious.
Okay. Well, that's good at least. And then you have mashed potatoes. Those are filling.
Yes, I had mashed potatoes.
You could pick the bacon out of the mac
and a lot of dessert.
Oh yeah. I had pumpkin pie from Martha's Country Bakery. Ooh, so good.
Oh. Well, so you finally got to watch The Real Housewives of Orange County Reunion.
Yes.
And I've been waiting for you to watch
so
we could talk about it. So we definitely have to discuss that.
Okay.
Also, the very much anticipated episode of Below Deck, because finally someone gets fired.
Finally.
We'll get into
we'll see.
And then, we also have the premiere of Dirty John, which that is going to be a sneak peek, but it's going to be a rose of mine. But overall, what did you think of the show?
I mean, I was a huge fan of the podcast to begin with, so I was super excited to watch, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, and we need to talk about the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion super tease.
Oh, boy.
You haven't watched it yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay.
For 2 years, I have held a secret about you, Leanne, so I'm going to reveal it right now.
Why don't you jump in a lake and drown?
I hate the word society. It has to stop.
You still struggle with depression.
Yeah, there have been times where I can barely get out of bed.
You haven't had a opinion all year, and now all of a sudden you got
I have had plenty of
opinions. No, you haven't.
The guy who said that Mark gets his dick sucked at the Roundup was a disgruntled florist.
Was a disgruntled florist, if you can believe that.
Are there any other kind? Let's bring out Mama D. Simmons. Hey, Mama D, you brought your purse.
I brought my purse because I had to give my daughter her allowance.
If I stole your phone, I would have taken it back to America and got into it, okay, bitch?
You said that you heard from multiple people that Rich had been unfaithful.
He's never cheated.
Both of his ex-wives came to me and sought me out and told me different stories. They said to me, you have no idea what you're saving her from.
All right, thoughts?
Okay, well, I mean, it really seems like the whole Brandy, Leanne, Deandra situation is just coming to a head, like at the reunion, which we all kind of expected. I mean, it's the whole season has just been Brandy yelling at Leanne, like Leanne fighting with Deandra. Like, it just keeps going in this kind of vicious circle. But, like, we didn't even, I mean, Stephanie was like, hey, I'm here too. Like, Carrie was like, I don't know. Like, Cameron is like, look at my hair. You know, like, there wasn't much that we got to see what they had to say or anything like that.
Well, okay, so you see the part where Deandra says, there's a secret I've been holding on you, Leanne.
For 2 years.
Yeah, so I'll say it involves Carrie.
Interesting. Okay.
And it backfires on Deandra.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot there that I'm really excited for everyone to see.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see, like, I always am excited at how they cut the reunion. What are they including? Mm-hmm. What are parts maybe I missed while I was running out to Crafty for right. the fifth time?
Of course.
So.
I do have to say I like Cameron's hair. I know we had talked about that a couple weeks ago when I was like, what were the looks like? She was giving me a little like Bridget Bardot,
some old Hollywood
type of situation. So I think that I like it. I'm
okay.
excited to see the full
I really look. Liked Deandra's outfit. I loved the power suit.
A power suit's a bold move. I mean, I think there's like a certain standard that's been set with a lot of the reunions of like ball gown, you know, like especially Atlanta last year was like very over the top. So it's nice to see that get switched up a little bit.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, so excited.
Okay, so we have to talk about Orange County Reunion Part 1.
Yes, absolutely. So I have to say, first of all, Shannon Bedore looks fantastic.
Yes.
I know she had set a goal for herself to lose some more weight in between like finale and then filming the reunion. I think she's finding her confidence again, which she needed that confidence at this reunion because there was a lot going on. But Shannon looks great. I also loved how Andy opened with making sure he pointed out like how everyone was looking. Like, oh, Vicky, I like your, or look at your face. And she's like, thank you, Andy. And he's like, oh, I didn't say I liked it.
I'm eyeballing your face.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't compliment it yet.
Okay.
Oh, it's probably the only time it's acceptable to be commenting on every woman's appearance.
It's true. When it's a storyline in the show,
that's
I feel
true.
Like you're allowed.
It definitely is.
And he went over to Tamara too and was like, I love your facelift. And she's like, just a lower facelift. I was like, well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Just the bottom half, I suppose. So I thought that was really funny that, like you said, it's like very Orange County, I feel like, to comment on looks and things. So, and it's Andy too, so he can get away with that. But the first thing I wanted to talk about with the reunion, and this has obviously been something that's come up a lot throughout the season, is Vicky and Steve's relationship. Because this has been a topic of discussion on the show. There's been a lot of people online. My mom has strong opinions about it.
What is your mom thing?
I mean, she honestly, she loves Vicky. She is a Vicky stan. And she, there is something about Steve she does not trust.
Right. I think it's also, it's hard for us fans because we've seen that her taste in men hasn't worked out well, so it's hard to trust her picker and feel like she's with a good guy,
right?
Even if he is.
And it's not even just fans though that feel that way, because then there was that moment where they were talking about the relationship, they were talking about, you know, Vicky's obviously been drilling the whole engagement, like propose to me, etc. And Andy was like, who thinks that they're actually going to get married?
Who here thinks they're definitely getting married?
Season 14.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
You
one
think
year.
They are? Really?
Yep.
You don't, Kelly?
No.
Really? Why?
No. Because I think Steve thinks that marriage is to have children, and he's happy being with her, so what's the point?
Shannon raised her hand pretty quickly, and it was only after Shannon raised her hand that Tamara raised her hand. It was only them.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kelly's definitely going to say no because she just hates Vicky right now. And I think the others maybe don't know him as well. I don't know. It's hard for me because you met Steve.
Yes.
I mean, you sat next to him for quite a while. He was hanging out around Eric's desk while Vicky was shooting something. Don't you feel like it's different after you meet them?
Definitely, because he was speaking a lot about like, oh, what do you think of the new girls? Like, how's the audience receiving? Like, he was kind of talking a lot about the other side of the filming the show that like normally talent doesn't really talk about, you know, like what are the people talking about? And we kind of talked a bit about Gina and Emily, but it was very early in the season that they were here, so I didn't have a totally good read on Gina and Emily yet. But yeah, it was really interesting to see how he was here. He was super nice, like very friendly, like, you know, chit-chatting and everything. But yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to see how their relationship plays out. Now that I've gotten to see him more on the show, it's kind of a bigger view.
Well, so do you think that they'll ever get married?
I mean, well, the thing is that, and this was kind of like, nobody really addressed this at the reunion, but Kelly off to the side was like, well, that's not what Steve said to me. And it was basically in reference to being like, Steve only thinks that like you need to get married if you're going to have kids. Like it's like, it's not necessarily something that he and Vicky need to do.
Right.
It's obviously something Vicky really wants to do. And even Andy asked like, do you want to get married or do you want to marry Steve? And she was like, I want to marry Steve.
Right.
So it's sort of like to each his own. And it, to me, I'm kind of like, at that point, why bother getting married? Like, what is so important about that whole process? You know, obviously it's important to Vicky, but it's not important to Steve. So Right. Should he just like cater to her and go ahead with it? Or should she just kind of accept that, like, this is us?
I know. It's funny because there really is no compromise in that argument.
Right.
Unless it's just to get engaged and stay engaged forever.
Right, and stay engaged. But I feel like once you get that far, I mean, why not go through with the whole thing? So I'm curious to know when Steve and Kelly had that conversation. I'm surprised it wasn't addressed. And, you know, Vicky didn't say anything. Like, well, what are you talking about? You know, so maybe nobody heard her, but I heard her and we heard her. And then there's also just talking about Vicky, too. You know, there was that sort of like Dirty John tie-in.
Lauren from Bend, Oregon said, I just saw the trailer for Dirty John. It seems like it could be based on your relationship with Brooks. Do you see the similarities?
100%.
You do? Good.
100%.
I listened to the podcast and I was like, this could be Vicky.
This is totally my daughter animate that this guy was a bad guy. And I was like, he wants to make love with me 4 times a day. Like, he's filling me up my love tank. Like, he says I'm beautiful.
It's this successful Orange County businesswoman.
It's really
sad.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was fascinated. I mean, I had heard before that Vicky saw a lot of similarities in Dirty John in her own life, which how could you not?
Yeah.
But I had no idea that she's now going after him in court.
She has the receipts.
An Excel spreadsheet.
And nobody likes Excel, but Vicky was like, I am documenting all of this. Like, I am coming through. I mean, good for her. You know, it is. And just from what I've seen on social, and we had like an AMA with the executive producer, Richard Suckle, today. And, you know, a couple fans were asking, like, Richard, do you see the parallels between Vicky? And he honestly wasn't very familiar with the, you know, Vicky Brooks storyline going into it. But he did say that at some point, you know, in production and having conversations with, you know, different people, it did come up how similar the story is. And it's sort of one of those things where Richard said, it can happen to anybody. So there are so many similarities into what happened with Vicky and Brooks, but it really can happen to anyone.
I thought it was interesting that some of the wives were like, let it go, Vicky, because I do think that you can, as a friend, see another friend and be like, you're obsessing over this relationship.
Right.
Like, it's no longer healthy. You just have to let it go. And I do think she'll end up just spending a lot of money on lawyer's fees and may not get what she wants.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, part of it feels like maybe it's part of the process for her. When they started talking to Gina about her divorce, you know, that's obviously been another big storyline this season. A lot of people online have been talking about it, too. I didn't know that the reason we haven't seen Matt so much was because he was at risk of losing his job over appearing on the show.
Yes. I think I had heard that in little, like, maybe she'd done it in a couple of small interviews. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm glad that they brought it up at the reunion to clear that up, because that makes a big difference. Oh, you couldn't be on the show because you would have gotten fired versus were you just not getting along with your wife, you know?
Exactly. Well, and plus, because he wasn't living there.
Right.
So it's like not even like he was coming in every other episode because he was in from LA, you know, or something like that. And so a lot of people were like already kind of being like, well, we're not surprised Gina's getting divorced because her husband's never around.
Yes.
But it's number one, he wasn't living in OC at the time. He's living in LA, but he also would have lost his job over it. So I guess it sort of it makes sense. And also, it's just like when they go in and talk to Gina, like, I feel like it's been so difficult to watch her go through this divorce, not just because divorce is a lot, but because the women can't seem to wrap their brain around, like, why.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes it just comes down to being, and for Gina in particular, it's so simple. It's just that, like, we just, like, fell out of love. I mean, they moved from Long Island to OC. They faced a whole new set of challenges moving to a new place together. And, you know, they were young, and it just, you do all these things, I think, at some point in your life, thinking you're making the right choice, and then you kind of look back and you're like, wait a minute, like, I don't know if this is right or if this feels right anymore.
Yeah, it was very, I don't know, it was sad to me to hear her describe, because I have to say, I kind of understood where Andy and the ladies were coming from, where it's like, but wait, you have 3 kids, so there has to be a real reason you're getting divorced. It can't just be that there's a lack of feelings. Mm-hmm. But to hear her talk about, my husband's never really even looked me in the eyes and told me in a meaningful way he loves me.
Right.
That is heartbreaking.
I know.
And that she didn't even know that was in him until they had a daughter of their own, and the way that he talks to her.
He's just not that person who compliments you and builds you up and makes you feel great. I've never walked out of a room and had him say, oh my God, you look so beautiful. You know, I've never really even had Matt
and we need
look
that.
Me in the eye and tell right. me in a genuine way, like, I love you. And I do think those things are important.
It is
but
important.
But you know what? I see him, he tells my daughter that. And it makes me love him, you know, for that. And I'm okay with that. And that's what makes me know he's a good person, a good father, but not meant to be my husband, you know, and that's it.
It was like they lost the romance, but they never really had it maybe to begin
yeah.
with. Yeah. That was rough. I mean, it I feel like that was the most like eloquent that Gina's been about explaining
right.
it and
yes.
like really putting like hitting the nail on the head. And I think that made everybody's brain click and be like, oh, okay. Like now we understand
yeah.
why this has gone this way. You know, going back to Vicky, I do have to say there was really towards the end of that reunion, like a big blow up between her and Kelly.
Right.
And I do think Vicky's hypocrisy was showing a little bit.
In what way?
She broke girl code.
Uh-huh.
She broke girl code by going to dinner with Michael and that new woman and not saying anything to Kelly. And then I do have to say, shout out to Kelly for the Liza Minnelli reference.
Yeah.
No, you are. You guys are lies. Lies. Liza Minnelli.
You know I appreciated
yes.
that. And she posted on social something about it this morning. It was like a picture, Photoshop picture of Liza from Cabaret with Kelly's face on it. Beautiful. Yeah, I feel like just her hypocrisy. She kept saying the one thing that really caught her in a lie, which didn't get addressed either, was that she had said, first of all, she went really low on Kelly and said, you're never with Jolie.
You're never
something
with Jolie.
And you're saying something that you don't even
that's
know
about? That's not right.
What'd
don't
she say?
That. With Jolie.
Don't
What'd
say
she
that.
Say? What'd she say?
You're not
you
with,
travel
you're
more
never
than
with
you with Jolie.
Ugh.
So why would Vicky, number one, trust what Michael has to say? Whether Michael said it or not, why would Vicky trust what he has to say over
right.
what Kelly would say?
I mean, my God, on the show alone, we see her with Jolie all the time.
Right. And with Michael, I mean, the episode where they went to see her play together.
Right.
They were together and they were flirting and they seemed to be getting along really well. So it just seems weird that Vicky, after all, you know, Kelly confronting her about going on double dates and all of that, that she would still then trust in that and then throw it back in Kelly's face in the reunion in front of all of these people, knowing that it's going to be on air. Like, that was just a low blow.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally separate from the cocaine accusation.
I don't do cocaine. Sorry.
I don't do cocaine either.
Oh, my
That's
almost, gosh.
I feel like saying that about Jolie was even worse. That cuts deeper.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cocaine thing just genuinely shocked Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
But then to add insult to injury, to be like, oh, and you're not a very present mother.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's like
brutal.
It's just like you hit her once and then you hit her again, like knock right. her down even lower. But I have to say the hypocrisy thing showed in particular. Vicky said, I haven't talked to Michael in 6 months. So she tried to sort of be like, oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to Michael in 6 months. I have no idea. But moments earlier, she had said, we just saw Michael in July at the Huntington Beach Parade.
Oh.
So it was, it's like, okay, you know, I think Vicky maybe said some things to hurt Kelly and maybe wasn't even speaking from like a factual place. But like, you just said you haven't seen him in 6 months, but back in July, that's within
right.
6 months, you know? So it's sort of like maybe she didn't talk to him. I don't really know. But I just feel like, and then watching Kelly go backstage and, you know, call Michael and be like, Vicky said this, Vicky said that. Michael's like, don't listen to her. Like, that's, you know, trust what I say. She's making that up, you know, whatever. It was
right.
so sad to see Kelly get so upset.
Because honestly, if Michael felt that way, you know he would. He has so many media outlets he could easily go to
right.
to blast Kelly. But they seem to be working well. And I think they do that because they both appreciate each other as parents.
And they kind of say that when Michael's like, look, we work out the whole like my week, your week. Or if we want to change that schedule, it's not court ordered. So we change things on our own.
Yeah.
Like it's between, you know, her and Michael, how they handle Jolie. So for Vicky to kind of step in
yeah.
and make that insinuation and not really have the facts to back it up and then putting words in Michael's mouth, it was just sort of like, what are you trying to do here?
Vicky can be so slippery too, because
mm-hmm.
it's like Andy said, but you said she does drugs. And she's like, no, no, no. I just said that I'd heard that.
Right.
What is
right.
the difference, Vicky?
Right. And then even when they took a break, it's sort of like, I think Tamara and Shannon both, of course, sort of came to Vicky. And I think Tamara was like, you can't do that. Like, you can't say things like that if it's not true. And Vicky's like, well, I don't know. I heard it. Like, maybe I heard that. I'm not sure. You know, it's just sort of like, oh, God. Like, we're going deep. I don't know. It was a lot. But so I'm excited. Like next week, what's the preview for next week? What do we have to look forward to next week's episode?
Well, Shannon gives us an update on where things are with the divorce mm-hmm. and her kids. And I found that to be one of the most surprising things about the reunion.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah.
And then I think we get a little explosion from Emily.
Oh, yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
That was so good.
She was pretty peaceful in part one. But part two, I think we're going to see... Yeah. We're going to see the eruption. She's done that. You know, she's got a temper.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we all do. Right. But yeah. Okay. So should we move on to Below Deck?
Yes.
I feel like this is the episode we've all sort of been waiting for. Mm-hmm. We knew someone was probably going to get fired.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think from watching this season, a lot of us assumed it would be Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mistakes made, and just we've come to know a lot of good bosuns, and we know what Captain Lee expects.
Yeah.
Chandler, just as Captain Lee said, they didn't vibe well together.
Right.
I think it's time for us to part company. We just don't have a chemistry. I think you can feel that as well as I do. It's just, I don't think it's a good fit. So however you want to tell the crew is fine with me.
Okay.
But I want you to walk away with, you know, with a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I appreciate everything that you've done.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So that being said, thank you.
Appreciate it.
But because I had been looking forward to this moment and finding out who was going to be let go, I found myself a little disappointed because there was no drama.
Yeah.
It was just Captain Lee being like a really amazing boss about it. And being like, hey, you and I just have this missing chemistry. And Chandler being like, you know what? You're right. I'm relieved.
Yeah.
I wanted fireworks. I wanted glasses to be thrown.
It's almost like, I think we talked about a couple weeks too, like making someone think it's their idea. Like right. just like convincing, being like leading them to the water and then
you're
letting them
drink. You're
not
happy here, right? are you?
I think a little reverse psychology right. on Captain Lee's end. And it was sort of, but like you said, I think a lot of people have seen it coming. I think Chandler knew he had made way too many mistakes, especially when it comes to guests, too. That's like the prime part of that experience is you don't want to ruin anything for the guests. Like you, the drama between the crew, whatever. But that was just, we knew that was coming.
Right. But wait, so have you ever been fired?
Well, it's funny you ask because I was just having this conversation over the weekend with my mom and Danny because I've been laid off from a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. Like I worked at some startups early in my career and they were just like, sorry, we can't pay you. And so I'm like, okay. And the only time I've ever actually been like fired from a job was in college. I did like a work study situation my freshman year. And I was working in the dining hall. My job was to like pack like the grab and go lunches. But my shift was at like 6:30 in the morning on a Monday morning. And I went for the first couple times because I was like, okay, it's work study. Like, sure. Like, but then 6:30 on a Monday, college student, like, no way.
No way.
So I totally just stopped going. Like I went for like 3 weeks or something like that. And then I just stopped. And about 2 weeks after I stopped going, I got a call from my manager and she just left me a voicemail. And she was like, hey, it's Meredith. So I guess you're fired because like you haven't showed up. So cool. Thank you. And I was just like, oh my God. I was like, I just got fired from a job. Cool.
Wait, did you not think that would happen if you just stopped showing up?
I pretty much assumed that would have happened, but I didn't even bother taking the responsibility of being like, I am going to quit. Because I didn't really know how the work study thing works. Like, right. would I then lose like some of my financial aid? I don't know. But I did end up getting another job in college, like working at our like phone-a-thon center and like calling people to ask for money and being hung up on a lot.
Yeah.
So it's not like I just like didn't work, but that's the only time I've ever been fired. Have you?
No. No. I mean, thank God. I mean, knock on wood. Who knows?
You're going to get called into an office right after we're done recording. Megan.
I do worry, though, if I ever got fired, it would just break me.
Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah, I don't like being told that, like, I'm such a people pleaser in some respects. I think it would just break me as a human.
You'd have to do something really probably horrible here to get fired. You know what I mean? Like, it would have to be pretty bad. Yeah. So I think you're okay.
Yeah. We'll see. and, you know, I think it is a lot like real life firings or quitting even.
Yeah.
When someone is just like, I'm so mad. I'm going to do this and this when I leave this place. Right. And then it's always so tame and you're just like, damn it. I wanted a little entertainment.
Everyone
today.
Talks the talk, you know? They're like, I'm going to quit. I'm going to flip a table. I'm going to storm out. And it never
plays
out like that.
And then they're like, thank you so much. Yeah. It has been a pleasure.
Right. It just comes down to like a transaction, like a pleasant business transaction.
But thankfully, we got a little bit of drama with the Caroline situation.
Oh, yeah.
So I did not see that coming, that she was going to give 2 days notice.
Right after Chandler got fired, yes. too. That's got to be a record. Like,
maybe she was just like, oh, I want to be off this boat too. Yeah.
Right. She just needed a little nudge.
I would like to give you my 2 days. There are a lot of things that I want to say, but really at the crux of the issue is I feel I've been scapegoated by the two of you. I feel like as a leader, you could show me a little respect. What I know, I'm sorry this is boring you, but
I'm listening. I can listen.
You know, we'll get through it. Basically, I feel like I didn't have a voice as a third stew, but I'm not somebody who's gonna eat with a knife and fork and smile.
Yes, but I loved that Josiah was like, 2 days notice isn't even a thing.
That's not I was like, is that a thing
on
in
boat?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, for a crew? Because like standard in other industries is 2 weeks. Like,
yeah. And even though it was mostly calm, she was still giving jabs to Kate. And I was like, okay,
yeah.
The drama meter's going up. Mm-hmm. All right. And then the next day when her 2 days notice was supposed to start, she's like, no, I changed my mind. Wow.
Now you're squatting is what Kate's point was. She's like, okay, you're not paying to be here. You're refusing to work. Like, you got to go. You got to get off the boat.
At that point, though, I just think Kate and Josiah should have backed off.
I know.
Was getting uncomfortable to watch.
It was getting uncomfortable, but I did really appreciate, and I thought it showed leadership for Ross to walk in there and turn off the music and
yes.
be like, go into her room and be like, what happened? And for her to say that, like, I know a lot of people feel like he deserves the role that he's been put into
yes.
now. And I think that he showed it.
Yeah, totally. Okay, what did you think about the outing gone wrong with Riley toward the end of the van?
Oh, the van.
She spit at the van.
I don't think you can behave like that with people that you work with.
She's mad. She just looked over us and spat.
She's a wild animal.
She'd rather spit than swallow.
She was cursing at everyone. Like, I was like, you can't. Can you imagine us going out after work and, like, ending the night with us cursing at each other and spitting? Like,
yeah.
That's just unprofessional, number one. And it's just rude from a...
And it's going to make for a really awkward next day.
Yeah. And she spit at Aiden, right? Is that who... Or everybody?
Everyone who was in the van.
Whoever was in...
in the direction of the van.
Whoever it would hit first, really, is what it was. Yeah, I don't know. And then she even, at the end of the episode, gets into the fight with Ross and is sort of cursing him out at the end.
And he's trying so hard with her.
I know. It's
know.
Not a good attitude. It's
yeah.
not a good attitude to have.
I mean, I think she has some valid points in everything that's happened this season. I do think at times mm-hmm. she's not treated with respect. But at the same time, this isn't the way to go about it.
Yeah.
Because now, even for a nice guy like Ross, you're burning a bridge.
Well, and respect is one of those things that I feel like some people walk into a situation feeling like they're entitled to it. And it's something you do have to earn. And
that's what Kelly Dodd would say.
It really is,
yep.
right? So I don't know. I feel as though maybe there's still some opportunity for Riley to like learn from this, and maybe watching back on, you know, herself back on the show will help with that process or whatever. But it seems like she's pretty easily forgiven, because next week in the preview clip, we saw her and Ross like making out.
What is happening on this yacht?
I don't know. It's like two separate relationships. Like during the day, they're like fighting with each other and they can't stand each other. And then at night, they switch.
Right. Do you think that's our issue, is that we don't argue ever? Therefore, there is no attraction.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Well, next week's episode, like you said, looked amazing. And Kate and Josiah are going to be in the office tomorrow.
Oh,
so
great.
I'm going to watch ahead and ask them a bunch of questions
awesome.
So we can sort of recap it. A lot's happening in the world, and I'm not just talking about on Bravo. If you want to keep up with the latest headlines in news, media, and tech, you need to listen to Recode Decode. Kara Swisher hosts Recode Decode. It's a podcast that's home to candid interviews with tech and media's key players about their big ideas and how they're changing the world. Previous episodes include newsmaking conversations with business leaders like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, influential politicians like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and outspoken media personalities like Anthony Scaramucci, Christian Amanpour, and the boys from Crooked Media's Pod Save America. Recode Decode with Kara Swisher offers in-depth conversations that are as entertaining as they are enlightening, and Kara's planning more big shows right now. New episodes are published every week on Mondays and Wednesdays, with frequent bonus episodes on Saturdays. Listen and subscribe to Recode Decode with Kara Swisher for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. So we have a really good interview. Brandi Redman was in the office, and it was right around the time that they were about to start filming the reunion. So I got a lot of prediction questions in for her, and just about the season in general, because that finale was bananas.
Yeah.
So here's that. Brandi Redman, welcome back to the podcast. So happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
3 seasons down of the show. Are you tired yet of being a Real Housewife?
No, because I am a Real Housewife. And I wouldn't change anything. You know, it's been an amazing experience. It's been one of those things that, you know, I feel like I'm a very lucky person to have this opportunity. And not a lot of people get to like look at themselves and look at their lives and reflect back and be like, oh my gosh, I did that, or learn from themselves. And, you know, there's always two sides. And I feel like watching, you get to see two sides.
Right. Do you look at a franchise like Real Housewives of Orange County, who's on their 13th season, and be like, you might be doing this for 10 more years?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't like to think that far. I very much am a free spirit, and I live in the moment. So, so I don't know.
I was asking about baby Bruin earlier. You said he just turned 10 months.
10 months. That's correct. Yes.
What are you going to do for the 1-year birthday?
Well, I think what we've decided is that we're going to have a onesie 1-year birthday party. So
cute.
Everybody coming has to wear their onesie. And and then it'll get adulting a little bit later on. I've got sitters lined up and everything, and a movie room lined up for the kiddos. And then it becomes adulting after that.
Well, it begs the question, which Real Housewives will get an invitation?
Right. Well, you know, he is a New Year's Eve baby, so that's even bigger. So ringing in the new year is a big deal. So I want to surround myself with people that are positive and, you know, that make me feel good about myself and they're not judging. So, you know, you can only imagine like who will be invited, right?
Right. I can imagine. Yeah. This season, well, actually, it's kind of been all seasons, but I can't help but wonder, did you consider yourself such an outcast of society before joining this show? I feel like it's what Leanne always talks about. Is that how you've ever seen yourself or the situation?
No, actually, I think of myself as more of the norm, because, you know, a lot of people are not trying to fight to be an attention and, you know, and to be a standout in society. If anything, people, they want to live their lives and be happy. And I think that I represent the norm, you know, because people give, they give what they can and they participate when they can. But for the most part, I just think it's like, it's ridiculous to really care what people think, unless it's, you know, and unless you're trying to get into college and you want to be a good example of, you know, whatever you might be setting your mind to. But other than that, it's like, you know, we're just living our lives. And
I can attest to that, because being from a suburb near you, I totally agree with what you're saying. It's only a certain type of person that really cares about those types of things.
Right. No, it really, you know, it's, I hate to say it, but it's like one of those things that I didn't really know that it was that bad. I was like, thought that it was something that you would see, you know, in a movie. And then I was like, wait, what? What am I ever gotten into? I had no idea it was that big of a deal,
you know,
in, you know, the Dallas area. And, you know, the people that are giving back, like, kudos to them. I think it's great.
Right.
I think it's, you know, it's admirable. But at the same time, if you're giving back to be the most recognizable person,
right,
that to me is a lot of BS.
Right.
You know, because I think each and every one as an individual, as long as they're doing their share, that's all that matters. And you shouldn't judge anybody for, you know, who gives more, who gives less, who dresses this, who dresses that. And it's just ridiculous.
Right. But that said, now that you're part of such a huge show, you must be getting a lot more invites.
You know, that's funny that you say that because, you know, being a new mom, and I'm sure y'all saw, you know, when I went to the event with Leanne and Deandra, or went as with Deandra, you know, I was swaying and I'd had some cocktails and, you know, whatever. But as a new mom, anybody can say that when you have a new baby, you are constantly bouncing. And I will recall, like, a few weeks previous, like, I was on the phone with Stephanie and she's like, why do you keep moving? And I'm like, well, because I'm trying to keep this baby happy. Right. And it just becomes, you end up like just like bouncing all the time and swaying and whatever. And not that I'm using that as an excuse. However, I did have multiple people reach out to me after that and saying, you know what? We would more than welcome you a little bit tipsy because that's why we serve drinks. Because when people are drinking, they spend more money. Exactly. So, hey.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it read as like fun, not anything else.
Yes. Well,
but
thank you.
I know that in Copenhagen, the alcohol subject comes up again and that it's something you've been at this point in the season hearing that Leanne's been talking about it. How surprised were you when you first heard that Leanne was sort of hinting that maybe you have a problem?
Yeah, you know, the first time I heard it from Mama D, and through Mama D, I just thought, you know what, I took it with a grain of salt, just because, you know what, I bet anything Leanne is just trying to cover her own ass because of her saying this about Deandra, and she just is like deflecting and pushing it on me. But the second time I heard it from Carrie, I was like, WTF, like, really? Okay, now this is, you know, it's just, it's shocking because it's coming from someone that never comes to my home, is never around my family, knows nothing, like, you know, and I'm in the process of adopting a baby and I'm constantly, like, we are getting just random visits all the time. And really, I just, it really made me angry and frustrated because she's never said anything to my face. And, you know, and I'm a strong believer, if you think that someone has a problem, you don't go and gossip about it. You go straight to them and just bring up. Hence, like, that's why I went to her and, you know, and said, hey, it seems like something's wrong. Like, are you sad? You know, those type of things. Like, that's why I went to her, because I, from the group, was hearing things, you know. And so I wanted to address it because I felt like nobody else was but Deandra. So, yeah. So, you know, I apologize if I, you know, went a little too far. But at the same time, there's a huge difference asking about, like, are you, how are you doing with the wedding? What, when are you getting married, versus like accusing someone of being an alcoholic and never to their face.
Right. Because you were going through this adoption process, which can be so arduous and long, did any part of you think, oh shoot, I shouldn't have filmed this season? Like, maybe I shouldn't have come back?
No, I never felt that way, because I, you know, it's, I don't know. It's this whole situation is so sacred and so special, and I'm so happy that I was able to share it with the digital series of, you know, Bruin. And it's a tearjerker. Even when I watch it, it's a tearjerker. And it's a love story, and I think that it gives a lot of people hope. So by no means, in that aspect, I don't regret it.
Right. So there was kind of a friendship switcheroo this season. You're closer to Deandra, and Stephanie's closer to Leanne. So I just want to, for the record, who do you consider a closer friend now, Stephanie or Deandra?
Well, Stephanie, I mean, we are a family. We do everything together. We're about to, you know, spend a week in Mexico together for my husband's birthday. Fine. And so, you know, Stephanie, I mean, she is my girl. And I love her unconditionally. And, you know, I will say that I don't want to be in a negative space with her. That, honestly, it's like gut-wrenching and it feels like a breakup. And however, I do love Deandra, and our relationship is just, you know, it's growing and growing. And, you know, and Deandra is one of those people that, you know, she's just, she likes to have a good time, but she's also, you know, she's a working woman and she's very serious, and she's very, she's organized, and she picks and chooses, you know, what she's going to commit to and whatnot. And I feel like with that, we are very relatable, because to be honest, we don't go out drinking. Like there's a handful of times that we've gone and had drinks, and even Jeremy and Deandra stopped by Brinkley's birthday party. She had a Neon DJ birthday party on Saturday, so for her birthday, and they stopped by just to give her a gift and wish her a happy birthday. And so I feel like, you know, our relationship is growing. I mean, my children mean something to her, and that speaks volumes.
That's so nice. Okay, well, on the opposite side of that, you have to choose one to spend a year on a deserted island with. Is it going to be Leanne or Cameron?
Cameron, because you know what? She has a private jet. We could probably leave.
Good answer. So I want to talk a little bit about the reunion, because it's coming up.
It's coming.
I'm going to be there, and I'm very excited. So I can imagine you're probably not in a great place with Leanne right now.
Right.
But are there any other ladies that you're going into this reunion not great friends with right now?
Oh, I've been so busy with the baby that I probably have been pulling away from probably pretty much everyone. So I don't know where I really stand with the other ladies. Like, I feel like this season I left off just so confused. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know who I could rely on, who had my back, or even if I had a genuine real friend. But, you know, and that was just like my gut feeling, like just kind of ending it all. And, you know, and I was sad because I felt like, you know, I was, I'm speaking my truth, and I'm speaking like from somebody that I always allow myself to be vulnerable in the moment. And at the end, it just felt like it was very, very fake in the end. And I don't know if I should say that, but.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on what you mean by that, you know?
Yeah. Well, to me, it's just, you know, coming from my perspective, from someone that has, you know, been so calculated to try and hurt other people's families, to being physical, you know, that it's like so easily people can forget, like, that happened in the past and like forgive and forget. But then as soon as things are happening towards you, it's okay. It's not happening to you.
Right.
You got this, girl. You're tough. And I agree. Like, I'm a tough girl, but you know, it's hard when you feel like those are your friends. And I would always stand up for what's right. And then it feels like you're kind of pushed in a corner and like, what is right? You know, like, is it okay just to say, you know what, that's okay. You're better towards me right now, but not, you know, so anyways, hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess I'm just curious who you're picturing in your mind right now. Like, is it more so a Stephanie or a Carrie?
You know, I feel like people have to watch, but I think, you know, at the end of last season, I was, you know, at lunch with Stephanie and Carrie, and I very much was told, you know, if you're going to have a relationship with Leanne, I'm just not sure. Like, this, our friend, you know what I mean? Like, our, like, to kind of, I don't remember exactly how it was said, but there was definitely like, and then I felt like I crumbled to be like, you know what, she has said these things, and, you know, and now it just seems like, okay, I've not been here to say someone is can and cannot be friends with someone. And for the first time, I'm saying, once I see this pattern, like, hey, maybe she's using you, Stephanie, to, you know, I don't know, just kind of pen things in a different direction. And I don't want Stephanie to be unhappy or caught in the middle. But I will say, I feel like, you know, she should stick up for what she thinks is right. And yeah, and you're going to see, like, it's one of those things where I just feel backed into a corner a little bit, like, and alone.
I feel like it's going to be a question that people ask, but you not being able to stay for the ceremony, for the vow renewal, did it have something to do with maybe your friendship changing with Stephanie?
No, the vow renewal had nothing to do with that. Travis threw that together within days, and my husband, he had a business thing that he had booked. He was flying in. He was trying to hire someone else for his company. And he was flying in their entire family. And it was something we had on the calendar. I mean, they had their vow renewal on a Thursday. Mm. And this was on the calendar, you know. And it was one of those things where we were meeting their whole family, trying to make them feel comfortable. And they were house hunting over the weekend. So it was like, you know, on the count. And I just couldn't do that to my husband, you know. And I get people are probably going to be like, really, really? And I mean, Brian even called Travis and said, why can't you do this on Friday? So, but yeah, so it was a difficult, like I felt horrible, that, but that's why we did every effort we could to be there before.
Yeah, that was nice. Back to the reunion. Who, okay, because I love to ask, what do you think the couches will look like? Like, how will they be separated out?
Oh, goodness. I feel like, you know, I thought about that a little bit this morning. And I was like, okay, what's going to happen? I mean, I definitely do not think that I will be on the same side as Leanne and Cameron.
And maybe Stephanie.
And maybe Stephanie, which, you know, makes me sad, but maybe I'll sit in her lap.
Yes. At
some point. But, you know, but it's one of those things that's like, I know we have to address some things that, you know, I mean, there's even like for me watching, I broke down and cried over some of the stuff that, you know, Stephanie and I had to text her and just say, I'm hurting really bad right now. I can't quit crying, but I'll call you when I can. Because it's just, it's crazy. Like, this is your best friend. And I think that, you know, from our past fights, the one thing I took from it is to communicate. And I feel like she's just not communicating with me, you know.
What did you feel was most hurtful? What had you crying?
I started crying about, you know, when I said possibly that Leanne was, you know, using her. And then Stephanie had said that it hurts her feelings that she's not good enough to be someone's friend without, you know, having them use her. But that's not what I was saying. I was just saying Leanne, you know, and that hurt me because she knows, like, she has a ton more friends that are not my friends, that are more acquaintances. And, you know, and I have no judgment. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, I mean, Stephanie's an amazing friend and anybody be lucky to have her as a friend. And she knows that. And so that just hurt me.
Mm. When you guys come into New York for the reunions, because you've been filming them here, do you go out afterwards? Does everyone go out on the town together?
No.
You're like, that is so sweet for you to ask, but no.
I mean, obviously it would be really fun because, you know, we'd get to joke about the stuff that's gone on and being so ridiculous. But no, we don't. I mean, I don't think that we've all really gotten together other than, you know, just meetings and stuff like outside of everything.
You think that's weird?
I mean, it's extremely weird. I mean, it's, you know, I get together with, I think, more individually than I do as a group.
Right. You guys aren't all sitting down watching the episodes together.
No, not at all.
Not writing your blogs together.
No. And as you know, I'm always like the last to watch. I mean, I have three kids running a clothing line. And so I'm always the last to, like, you know, like read or whatever. But I did, when you got my blog really early, I did get a text message from one of my castmates and it said, hey, so sorry, you know, whatever. And it was like, well, what happened? And so I actually watched it and then wrote my blog. And I think I was probably the first one with my blog in.
It was very nice. It was a pleasant surprise.
I was like, what? You want a response from this?
Yeah. So your clothing line, are you going to be representing it at all with your reunion look?
No, because you know what? I'm more vacay. You know, my husband and his company, like, they're marinas and waterfront property type stuff. And so I am more casual. Everything I'm wearing is Brandyland besides my boots. But
really cute.
Yeah. So it's more casual that you can dress up or down. And yeah, I mean, you can check it out just going through my name and site. So yeah, we have a lot of new stuff coming in for the spring and summer that I designed. So it's going to be super fun. Yes.
Do you know what you will be wearing for the reunion?
I have the Bravo stylist, Jeremy Hernandez. I have, like, he's amazing, and I just think he gets all of us. And it also helps when someone is watching and they know your personality, and he does that. And so, yes, I have six things that he sent me, and any one of them could be an option. So I don't know what they're choosing.
Do you know what the theme is this year? Is there a theme?
I just know that we have like crimson red couches.
Okay.
So yeah, we might look like Christmas trees. I'm not sure.
Amazing. It's Brandyland. That's the theme.
Yes, I love it.
Well, thank you so much. This was great. It was so nice to catch
up. Yes. No, thank you for having me. It's always so much fun. I love New York and I love you guys.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
And then I got a chance to talk to Real Housewives of New Jersey's Jackie Goldschneider. And since she was a new wife, had a lot of questions for her. I've really been really impressed with her on this season. Mm-hmm. And she was just as great in person. We talked a lot about, you know, her first season as a housewife and some of the personal struggles we've heard her talk about in these episodes. Hello, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited to be here.
New Jersey housewife. How does it feel?
It feels surreal. I mean, I wake up every morning and I'm like, did I dream that I became a real housewife? My husband's like, nope, cameras are waiting.
How nervous are you for people to meet you?
Not nervous at all.
Really?
Just excited. Yeah, totally not nervous.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would be dying inside.
No, I'm like jumping out of my skin. I'm so excited.
How was this season?
Amazing. I mean, I can't tell you how many people told me it would be the biggest mistake ever. They were like, and people who don't know anything, they were like, don't do it. Like, everyone hates it. Like, you're going to be miserable. And I like cannot believe how amazing it was. I made amazing friends. I had so much fun. I went on adventures. I mean, there was nothing not to like.
Of all the housewives, who was very welcoming, who maybe wasn't?
So Margaret, I knew coming in, but I mean, our friendship has just become like another level from being together all the time. So Margaret was the most welcoming because she made sure, and she didn't have to do this, but she really made sure that she had my back. She made sure that I knew that she was standing beside me all the time. So I felt really secure and confident with that. And Melissa just became like my sister. And I think everyone was welcoming. I mean, some people didn't end up loving me as much as, you know, maybe I, you know, they could have. But everyone was welcoming. I'd say that maybe Danielle was not as welcoming. Mm-hmm. I think maybe she felt a little more threatened by new blood, but too bad.
So sad.
Yeah.
That's great. So I know you touch on in the episode how you know Margaret, but explain more about how you guys met.
Margaret and I have a very good mutual friend named Jody. So when I would be with Jody, Margaret was there. So we knew each other. We did, but we weren't like close friends. And then we went out together, the three of us, a few times, and we just bonded. I mean, we weren't as close until we started filming together, and then we really like hit it off like crazy. So we knew each other coming in, but a friendship really took hold once the whole thing started.
I do want to know if you watched the show before you
I
became
did. On. I don't watch all of them, but I watched Jersey since day one.
Day one.
I love Jersey.
Who doesn't?
And I had my opinions. I had everything. I had my ideas of what people were like. I did.
Okay.
I watched Jersey.
Well, so I want to know, because I think Teresa can be very divisive. Like, some people love her. Some people have other opinions. So as a fan, what did you think before you came on the show and got to know her?
I was not a big fan of Teresa. I felt like she was always the victim. I just didn't like the way she fought with people. I thought that she got like all over pumped and like took it to a level it didn't need to be at. But now I really like Teresa. But I think that Teresa's probably a different person now than she was back then. And I'm glad that the Teresa from the early episodes is not the Teresa that I met in season 9, because I don't know how well we would have meshed. Mm. So I forgot what the question was. What did I think of Teresa? I thought Teresa was just too much. I thought she was a little extra. But now she's great.
Yeah.
Now she's great.
Even though you're so close to Melissa, and I feel like they kind of butt heads.
I don't think Teresa's calling me to go out to dinner kind of close. You know, like, Teresa doesn't want to have a sleepover with me. But I think that, like, at the end of the day, we both, like, respect each other as women and parents. And I think that she knows that if she needed me, I'm there for her. And I know that if I needed Teresa for something, I could call Teresa and Teresa would be there for me. I know that.
Have any former Real Housewives reached out to you?
On Jersey?
Yeah.
So I wrote a story once years ago for a magazine on Jacqueline Larita and her husband. And so she likes my social media stuff. So reaching out, nah, not really. When I first got the call from Bravo, I actually texted Siggy because I knew her from around town. And I said, you know, I'm thinking of like calling back Bravo. What did you think? And she like couldn't have been more negative. So I actually didn't speak to her again after that. And no, other than that, no.
Yeah. Was your husband supportive when you floated the idea to him that you were going to be joining the show?
Yeah, I think he went, it was like two steps forward, one step back. So it was like, should I try this? And he was like, yeah, why not? Try it. You know, I don't think anybody, my mother, my husband, my friends, I don't think anybody expected it to go anywhere. I mean, because who becomes a real housewife? Like, that just doesn't happen to people, right?
Right.
So it was like, hey, I got a call. You think I should try? And it was like, yeah, why not try it? It's like buying a lotto ticket, right? It's like you have one in like 4 trillion odds, but you got to try it, right? So I think he was more excited at first. And then when it became, you know, looking like it was going to happen, I think he got a little nervous and was like, you know, maybe it's not the right idea, but I assured him that it wasn't going to be, you know, too heavy on him. It wouldn't be more than he could handle. And I would do everything I could to protect him and not make it about him. And he was really, really good. He really, you know, when I needed him, he went for it so well. And it's just not in his character to be like out there and crazy. He was just himself. And I think he was a lot happier with the way it all turned out than he expected to be. And he saw how much I loved it. And I think that made a difference to him too.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Is there any layer of fear as a mother having your kids on camera and like what they might say?
Yeah, you always worry about like your kids saying the wrong thing. Like I was once took my kids out to the mall. We ran into somebody and my son was really young and he asked me right in front of the person if they were a boy or a girl, and like so like little things like that, like I just you worry if they're gonna say something private about you, but you know your life is really so out there on these shows that there was really nothing they could say that would embarrass me that much. And plus my kids, and I know everyone thinks their kids are great, my kids are really good. They have very really good like manners, and I think they know when something's wrong. And they're a little older now. So when we filmed, they were 7 and 9. And I think they knew that some things were not appropriate to say in public. So I really wasn't nervous.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Two sets of twins. Talk about winning
Let
the lottery.
Let that sink in, right? I like to say I hit the jackpot twice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How shocked were you, I mean, the second time to find out?
Well, it was just I had a lot of problems getting pregnant. So, and I'm very open about the fact that I had fertility treatments. But I had a lot of IVF and I couldn't get pregnant with one. So to have two babies stay in there the whole time and make it through so strong and healthy. I mean, my children are like oxen, like they're big and strong and athletic. So, I mean, to just have two make it twice. The second time that I found out, I honestly felt like Superwoman. I was like, if anyone could do this, listen, I'm not a religious person, but I was like, God gave this to the right person, because if anyone could carry twins twice, it's me. I knew I could do it. And I always wanted a lot of kids. And my husband really, like when we got married, we were like, we're going to stop at two. So like I would never have had four kids if it wasn't for that. So I'm so thankful. I mean, I really think that everything turns out the way it's supposed to be. And I feel like I was meant to have twins.
Because you've made a career as writing about mothering issues, mm-hmm. do you feel like your mothering is put under a microscope?
I'm very open about the fact that I fuck up all the time. And I think that's what makes my writing appeal to so many people. Because I start a lot of my articles with like, look how much I fucked up and my kids are still okay. So let's talk to an expert and find out how the fuck my kids are still okay when I did this so wrong. I think that a lot of women walk around with a lot of guilt about the way they're supposed to be doing things, and they don't do them the way that the world tells them they're supposed to do it. And I think it feels really good to read another mother saying, I'm not doing it the right way either. And guess what? There's no right way. So I don't really mind if people want to put my parenting under a microscope, because I'm actually laying it all out there for them. I mean, I don't say everything that goes on. Nobody should. I mean, your private life should be somewhat private. But I really don't try to hide the things that, you know, I feel like I mess up on, because mm-hmm. I don't think that you need to hide them. I think that we're all humans. And as long as you love your kids and, you know, meet their needs, I think it's okay to mess up sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do other moms think that maybe, like, I don't know, do they worry that you are secretly judging them because you write about mothering issues?
They might. They might. You know, I don't ever really write about a person, or I would never indicate who I'm writing about. I'd never say I have a friend who has these two kids that lives close by. I would never give away enough that they knew I was talking about anybody in particular. So I don't think that anybody would ever worry that I was talking about them, or like feel like, oh my God, she's going to write about me. But I don't feel bad writing about a situation. Even if you know that I'm writing about your situation, as long as nobody else knows that it's your situation, I feel okay writing about that.
Yeah. We see in Oklahoma that you open up about a past battle with anorexia. Mm-hmm. Were you at all nervous to bring that up, not only to these women, but, mm-hmm. you know, knowing it is being filmed?
No, I feel like I have been wanting to write about my eating disorder for so long, because it's so draining to have an eating disorder. And when I was going through it, and I went through it on and off for a long time, but it was a really bad few years that I had the worst of it. And I remember reading Portia de Rossi's book during that time when she talked about her eating disorder. And it felt so comforting to know that somebody else out there had an eating disorder and made it through and was actually eating normally now and still looked thin. It felt good to hear that other people go through what you go through, and which is why I write about the messy parenting stuff. But I always wanted to write about it and just didn't know how to incorporate that into my writing, because I'm mostly parenting issues. And so it felt really good, and it felt really responsible, because I know there are going to be people watching it who say, oh my God, I do that too. Oh my God, she's still thin and she eats. And I made sure on this show that I ate. Like, I made sure that I never sat at that table picking and moving my food, because I wanted people to see that you can eat. It was important to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How did your recovery come about?
I found a nutritionist who specifically worked with people who were recovering from eating disorders. And I had tried before, like, speaking to people, and they just didn't put me in the position of feeling like, okay, I could start to ease up a little bit and trust that this person will keep me sane, until I found my current nutritionist, who I've been with for like 6 years. She really assured me that we would take baby steps, and that we would break really bad habits little by little. And she would say, if you put on more weight than you want, we will dial it back. You can trust me. And I let go enough to trust her. Little by little, I started breaking habits, and my life was just changing. It was completely changing. And I think the first time that I gained more than I wanted to, and quickly it went back down a little bit, I knew that she would keep me comfortable, and I was really able to, I mean, listen, I have little things that I still battle with, but I think a lot of women do.
Right.
I still don't like the feeling of gaining weight, but she, I think finding a person to work with that you're really comfortable and that you trust, that was key to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I speak for everyone. I say we're really excited to meet you on the show.
Thank you. And I'm so excited for it all to start. I'm really excited. I really am. I have no other words for it. Just real excitement.
Amazing. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right, it's time for Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Where we break down the good, the bad, the ugly from this week. What's your rose?
So my rose was the waterfall lunch on Below Deck.
This waterfall is breathtaking. It's moments like this that make yachting worth it. It's like, Casavenia, heaven's shining down on me.
Because number one, Kate referenced Lion King.
Right.
And the teaser trailer for the new movie came out this weekend. I'm super excited about that. But second, the whole experience reminded me of Ithaca, where I went to school. As you know, Ithaca, New York, Ithaca is gorgeous is kind of the Ithaca tagline. Oh. And so there were a ton of waterfalls up there that my friends and I used to go to. We used to like jump off into like the big like pools and stuff where you're technically not supposed to go. But it was always so fun to just be able to like play in them and just like it was some kind of like liberating experience. And it's like tucked away in the middle of upstate New York. So I feel like Kate had a moment before she was like setting up the lunch where she was just like, oh, I just need to appreciate where I am. And that was a feeling that I had very often in Ithaca.
I need to go to Ithaca. I've never been.
Only in the summer, though.
Okay.
Not worth it in the winter. What was your rose?
My rose was there's this particular moment in Dirty John that I love. So first of all, when I found out that Julia Garner was going to be attached to this, I was super excited because I'm obsessed with Ozarks on Netflix. And she plays such a different role in this show, but so well. And there's this moment in the closet where it's Deborah, John, and Tara. And you can see John really coming between Connie and Julia.
You all right?
She's fine. Can you just go? We are having a private conversation.
Were you looking through that or was she?
She was.
Can you just let us have a private conversation?
Who told you could do that?
I was just looking into his stupid box, okay?
You weren't supposed to be in here. Why were you in here, though, hon? You didn't belong in here.
Because I was trying to figure out if you were lying to me, which you were.
Stop talking to your mom like that. Lower your voice a little.
Mm-hmm. And just the acting, all amazing.
Yeah.
But also just like, why, Deborah? Why?
Right. It's an intense moment because I feel like it raises the stakes of the show even more.
Right.
Because you can see him planting the seeds earlier than that about like, you should put yourself first, not your kids. And it's really a moment where, you know, Deborah could have made the choice to be like, don't talk to my daughter that way. And she didn't. She's
very much like the whole Vicky Brooks and Brianna thing.
Exactly. It's so true.
Oh. What was your thorn?
My thorn was Shamari discussing her open relationship with Ronnie's mom.
Did you ever know that me and Ron had like an open relationship?
No.
It was a point where he can do his thing and I can do mine.
It was just sort of like, did you need to include that in your explanation?
I 1,000% agree because open marriage, sure, go for it.
100%.
And tell us as an audience, that's very interesting.
I mean, I love Shamari too. I think she's a great energy in the show and I love how she owns who she is and what she's done. And like later on in the episode, she like stands up and is like, yeah, I was in an open relationship. And I loved that moment. And I wish that moment had maybe come before or instead of that moment, because it's sort of like I understand where she was coming from, because she mentioned she had some issues with his mom in the past and they haven't always seen eye to eye.
Right.
So I think she was just trying to level with her and be like, this is what has happened with us, and like, yeah, we were almost divorcing, but then we decided to be in an open relationship. And it's just sort of like, that's a detail you could have left out for the mom.
Yeah. I totally agree.
What was your thorn?
All right, my thorn is pretty big one. Ooh. And it is this whole Jeff and Jenny fallout on the finale of Flipping Out. I, you know, have been wondering this whole season, even before the season, when we found out that there was a big falling out, and it was like, what's going to be over? Yeah. And so then to finally see the argument that led to it all, first of all, was very sad because it had to do with that Jeff maybe hasn't always fully respected Jenny's acting career. And I think it's hard to watch two friends that just don't see eye to eye on something.
Yeah.
And for her to say, I turned down a role in a Nicolas Cage movie to work for you, and him be like, you're a liar.
Just think, if there was a really important audition, I think you would go. And I think you have gone. I think
so,
throughout,
you know,
all
what?
These
this,
years.
This is a breakdown in communication. Because last year I was asked to be on tape and it was a very final audition with an offer. And I didn't do it because it was going to be 2 weeks out. 2 weeks. So I should have come to you and say, hey, I might need to leave for 2 weeks. Is this cool? But instead, I just say no to it.
Yeah, no, this is the first I've heard about it, which is why I don't believe you. Am I holding you back from pursuing your dreams? And the answer is, yes, I am. I'm holding you back. What would happen instead of spending 50% of your time on your career path? What would happen if you spent 100% on your career path? You know what my guess is? You're gonna accomplish everything you want to accomplish.
But I also saw his side of things. You know, I know how much you love to act. Why are you blaming your lack of career on me? And I kind of thought everything would be okay once he apologized at that final lunch. Mm-hmm. But then for it to sort of turn into a reverse psychology of, yeah, you're not happy here, and I think we both know that, and I don't think you should work here anymore. She's like, what? I don't know. It's just a lot.
Do you think there's room for them to find each other again? Because I think, I mean, she's the godmother of his, yeah, child. So
there has to be. I just still, at the end of the day, don't feel like anything was irreversible.
Yeah.
Unless there's something that is beyond the show that we're not seeing. But from those conversations, it just doesn't feel like you should end such a lifelong friendship. And the fact that they kind of became famous together, that's such a connecting thing.
They understand each other in ways that, like, other people won't.
Yeah.
So hopefully they come to recognize that and can kind of rebuild what they've lost. But I don't know.
Ugh. Sorry to end on a sad note, but that's just what it is.
That's just how it is.
We want to know what your guys' roses and thorns were this week. You can always tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. And you can find me everywhere at Meg Segura.
And you can find me, Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.